We'll just pray, Lord, we're in your hands this morning, as always. But Lord, we're just in your hands. So I just pray that you'll make of this morning what you will. You will make of this message what you will, Lord. You will cut what needs to be cut. And Lord, you will add what needs to be added. We just thank you, Lord, that your word is flawless. Your word is flawless. It can be trusted. We can stand on it. And it is life and it is power. It is your heart. And we just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, message this morning entitled, Worth Our Salt. Was going to be a message about salt and light, but it just got far too long, and it's probably still a bit long. But so it's part one I've put there. I just wanted to, before we get into that message, just share something from Acts 1:8, I think that's there. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We've learned about that of late. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's a key word in there I want to just start us with to have in our heads all morning is witness. His witnesses. We are his witnesses. Jehovah's witnesses. But we're not Jehovah's witnesses. If that makes sense. We witness for Jehovah. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. So today is just another simple spiritual checkup. You're probably getting sick of going to the doctor by now and being poked and prodded by from the front. Doctors start with basics. They run blood tests. They run BP. They do all those sorts of things. And I'm hoping soon that he's going to give us the all clear and we can go full on ahead. Amen. First couple of questions today are, number one, what sort of witness am I? This is for you to ask yourselves. What sort of second question is, what sort of witnesses are we as a church at Hillside and as a group, a family? And number three is, what sort of witnesses would we like to be and indeed should be? I was both prompted and disturbed last week at Stacey's message. Is Stacey here? There she is. I was very disturbed, Stacey. Who was here last week for a wonderful message? Most of us. Stacey shared a story about the life-saving club up the coast. Who remembers that? Okay, for those that weren't here, essentially, if I can be quick about it, there was a life-saving club, small old club, but it just started to grow and people started to have a heart to save lives, to get out in the ocean, to bring them in. They had an old shack, and by the time they got more people coming along, they wanted a better facility, and they built a better facility, and the facility got better and better and more comfortable to the point where they didn't even go out rescuing. They hired people to go out rescuing for them, and it became a social club essentially. Would that be a fair assumption of the message? And it was an analogy of what a church could become, or maybe a church has become, not Hillside. A group of people becoming comfortable, introspective, preaching but no practicing, talking the talk but not walking the walk, as we've heard of late, distracted, eyes off the prize. Their intended purpose had shifted to the point where it wasn't even close. Would it be fair to say that is hypocritical? Hypocrites? Yep. So anyone wants to do some homework, read Matthew 23 and what Jesus said about hypocrites. Pretty damning. The word witness in the Greek, the Hebrew, martyreos, words to that effect, it's the same word we get martyr from. Now, we know a martyr is someone that believes something to the point of laying down their life and indeed dying for a cause, for their religious beliefs or other beliefs. So we're called to be witnesses, yeah? Yeah? We don't like the word martyr too much, but that's where it comes from. So sold out, we could say. Jesus said that we will be his witnesses. So Lord, I would just pray again as we start the message that we would hear your voice today and hear what you are saying to the church at Hillside. Amen. If we could go to the next slide, just through that, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So part one is worth our salt. Now, just in context, Matthew, or otherwise known as Levi in Scripture, was a tax collector, and we all know about tax collectors. If you don't, they were outcasts. They were Jews that were collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman government. They had an open license to rot and corrupt, essentially. So if you wanted to offend someone, you'd call them a tax collector. Jesus, that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. He'd just gone through the Beatitudes, essentially, Jesus, we're not sure how many, but speaking to certainly his disciples and greater than the apostles, so a greater bunch of people, Jewish followers, listeners, seekers. He saw the multitudes. They were amazed because he spoke as someone that had authority. So, but what did it mean to them? Because for us, it obviously means some different things. Salt of the earth, we have some worldly sayings that allude to that. But what did it mean to these first century Jews? I'm just going to try and quickly run through these. Salt in that day was an important and precious commodity. It was a preservative, so they didn't have any fridges. So the kids weren't going to the fridge all day. They were probably going to the salt box. They used it to preserve their meats and their fish. They were well acquainted with salt. It was essentially a form of currency as well. It was an enhancer of bland foods. It was an antiseptic / purifier / cleaner that had healing properties for medicinal purposes. It was even used as a fertilizer, but just hear me right, in the right amounts on the manure piles. It was just a bit, just to bring the pH balance and things like that. It was also, as I said, a salary, a form of currency, salera. That's where the word salary comes from. Not celery, salary comes from that word. It was salt money. And the Roman soldiers used to be given salt as part of their remuneration. So to earn their pay, it was said they were worth their salt. Hence the name of the message this morning. There was such a thing as a salt covenant. You'll see in Scripture a little bit of that. As two tribes or two nations would come together, they would make salt a part of the meal. I don't actually know why. I can't find any actually reason where that started. But it made an agreement legally binding. The Old Testament law, for the grain offerings, they would have to just flick some salt on it. That would be part of the offering. It would be salted, signifying it was a covenant between God and Israel, that it was unbreakable. The Levitical priests were promised by God food from the temple, essentially like pastors are today. It was always sprinkled with salt. Obviously, if they were giving meat and things, it would make it last longer because the priests, they needed it every day. They relied on it every day. It was a sign of wisdom. It was just known as a symbol and a sign of wisdom. And even today, eating a man's salt in the East, it means to derive your income from someone. And you would get protection and covering. It would be in the king's salt, the palace, the salt of the palace. You'd be working for the palace, which would bring protection, covering. And the man who eats another man's salt is bound to look after his interests. In the Bible, salt also came to symbolise in different ways purity, perfection, hospitality, durability and fidelity. Hence the name salt of the earth. So that's what salt, some of those things meant to them. No doubt they had to chew on this for a little while, not the salt. They had to chew on what Jesus was saying. We have the value of hindsight now and we know we can sort of use some analogies and some parables that we might read. We know the full story or part of the story. Jesus' teachings were oftentimes hard and confusing to understand. He spoke in parables. So a lot of this they wouldn't have got until the Holy Spirit came and were reminded of these sorts of things. His own family thought he'd lost the plot at times, so with some of the way he spoke. But as time went on, it all started to fall into place. I'm sure as Matthew and others wrote these epistles, they would have had a lot better understanding. The Holy Spirit would have quickened things to them, and they would have had a lot more insight as to what Jesus was actually saying to them, or at least attempting to say. So for us, How and what does that look like to be salt of the earth? I've used the analogy today about a witness. I think that's part of it, that we need to be witnesses for God and we need to be salty witnesses. Now, the Urban Dictionary would have salty to mean angry, irritated or hostile. That's the, you know, someone salty. A lot of teenagers. Any teenagers here? They're a bit salty sometimes. Maybe some older people could be a bit salty. Who knows? Mark was a sailor, so the old salt, you would have heard that, is an old salt. It was an experienced sailor, been to sea many times. But we know that the saying, salt of the earth, good, genuine characters. And this is a worldly saying now as well. And quite often in farming areas, there were just in every area, there's just some good old salts. Grant Crombie was one of those, weren't you, Grant, out there at Babbican? He would have been known as a good, as salt of the earth, rather. Someone who was salt of the earth, genuine, down to earth, caring, loving. So for believers, for us as witnesses, let's work this out a little. And again, it's all by the Spirit. This is not to strive in ourselves. This is not of us. This is by the Spirit. And bear in mind a key thing here, that number one is that Jesus said, you are. So you are the salt of the world. Yeah? You are. It's in you. You are. And there's plenty of other you are scriptures. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are, you know, in the likeness of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You are overcomers. You are just more than conquerors. So these things are in us. And as I shared from Oswald Chambers, we've got to work out what God has worked in, amen? So we've got to work this salt out. We've got to actually be it. So number two, we should have a flavour. We should enhance situations. We should enhance everywhere we go. We should just bring a savour, a love, a joy, a peace, a patience, a kindness, a goodness, a gentleness, a faithfulness, a self-control. Does that sound familiar? We should just be that. We should be the happiest people in town, yeah? We should be the happiest people in town, yeah? Salt enhances the flavour that is already there in something. So in our case, as we talk about gifts in the body and gold in the body, going to keep talking about it, we salt each other, as I'll talk about later. It should encourage those gifts out. Got to enhance the flavour in each other. Number three, preserving. We've got to keep the faith. We've got to preserve the faith. We've got to keep the word of God. We've got to let it bottle up and ruminate inside us. Ferment it inside us. Preserve it. We've got to feed our faith. Let it bubble up. If anyone's brewed, I was going to say brewed beer, but that's probably not appropriate. But let's say ginger beer or kombucha, bubbles up, preserves, ferments for cola jars, for those that can remember what they are. So for us, working this out, number four, I've written here, sting. It was used on wounds and things to sterilise as an antiseptic. We might be called sometimes to be very honest with each other, yeah? That could sting us, couldn't it? It does sting us. But we need to bring it how? In love. Bring the truth in love if we need to do that, if we're called to do that. That's what relationship's about. It's about timing. It's about having credibility. If you just come out of the blue and tell someone the, might be the truth, it might be spot on, but it may not be in love. I think scripture says something to the effect of they would trust the wounds of a friend. Is that right? Trust the wounds of a friend. Number five, cleansing and disinfecting, as I've said, but situations. We should be like that salt in situations and purify situations, clean up situations. We need to influence society. And we'll talk about losing our salt in a minute. We should be making the earth a better place. Our workplaces, everywhere we go, every sphere of influence we have, make it more holy. because it's in us. We are, you are, the salt of the earth. We have so much against us in this world, and it seems to be getting darker and darker. I think that's been history forever. Not much has changed, but there's a new set of circumstances and things that we come up against. Number six is healing. We're empowered to bring healing in all its various forms. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But not just physical. There's a lot of emotional sickness, a lot of emotional healing that people need to be free of. We're in the prayer room this morning. It was quite strong about hurt. And that's come up numerous times. I know there's people sitting here that have been hurt. The first message I did a couple of months ago was about that. But the first step to being free of hurt is to forgiving. It's one of the first steps to forgive. If you've been hurt, you've got to let that go and forgive. You probably need to go and have one of those salty conversations maybe with someone. And if you know you've hurt someone here, please go and make things right. Start a conversation. Because we hide it, we build it up. Anyway, that's a whole other message. Fertilizer. Now, you've got to be careful with salt and fertilizer because it's got to be very minute portions and in the right amount, bringing pH up, and any farmers, gypsum and lime, and getting the pH right. And it was interesting, but in 1 Corinthians, I think Paul said, you know, with Apollos, there was all these confusion that, you know, said one waters, one plants. It's God that does the growing. There's a part there for us to come and fertilize. Yeah, fertilize each other. I think fanning each other into flame is like we're fertilizing things. The youth here, some of you have physically sowed money in, that's like a fertilization, but they need encouragement and support, as we all do. We can be fertilizer. Hopefully not manure, which is a good fertilizer, but there's a whole heap there I could say, but I won't. It alluded to wisdom. Now, we are hooked into pure wisdom. James tells us that if we pray for it, or tells us to pray for it, what else does he say? He says to believe that we've got it, so we pray for it. How many of us have prayed for wisdom? Put your hand up if you ever prayed for wisdom. How do you reckon I'm going at the moment in this new role, praying for wisdom? But I'm saying, Lord, thank you for it. Start thanking him for it, that he's given it to you. It's in you. That salt's in you. You are the salt of the world. We need to believe it, otherwise we're getting tossed around all over the place, like that ship. A pure standard I've put there, our work ethic and business dealings, as an example, like the salt covenant of old, those agreements that were binding, honouring each other, honouring our workplaces. I never used to honour my workplace in the early days. I was just off doing my own thing during the day. There's something about honouring your workplace that is good to God. Whatever you do, and, you know, put your hand to it as if working to the Lord. I always thought that scripture was a bit off. But it's true, whatever you do. If you're digging holes or you're a prime minister, do it all as if working for the Lord. Are we earning our wages or are we slacking off? Are we taking extra time off? Are we worth our salt? This other one, the idea of causing thirst, and some farmers would know that with sheep rations, you would put, there'd be a bit of salt in, it would invoke thirst, so the sheep would drink as well as eat. That's why they have peanuts at hotels, at pubs. Beer nuts, very, very salty. So you're sitting there, you're having a cup, you're going to have another beer or water or whatever you happen to be drinking. But if we're salty as Christians in the right way, we're going to invoke thirst in other people, aren't we? And talking about witness in the context of a witness, we want people to see what we have and be thirsty for it. How many of us came to Christ because we were thirsty? Something wasn't working right. And that's not all your journeys, because some of you just were brought up through the church from a young age, and that's a blessing. Don't worry about that. You mightn't have a whiz-bang drug story or whatever. You might just have a good, solid heritage testimony. And we need both. But who came because they were thirsty for something better? Most of us. Probably all of us in some ways. For me, I finally got over myself, because I couldn't quench the thirst that he had intrinsically placed in me as he created me with anything I tried to do. It just didn't work. I thought it did, but it didn't. He puts a thirst in every human soul, I believe, in their spirit. Not their soul, their spirit, that only he can fill. Number 11, salt has a strong influence. We need to be a strong influence. I was hoping to get some smelling salts, but I didn't get time. And I was going to bust one open and go and snort it in front of you. I've never done it before. I don't know what would have happened. I probably would have collapsed. Has anyone had smelling salts? Yeah, what would have happened, Steve? Would it? Yeah, woo, come on. But you get the effect. And I watched one on YouTube, a guy do that. A preacher actually did that. It caused a bit of drama. But smelling salts have an influence. Yeah, if you've had them and if you've seen people have them, they're designed to arouse consciousness. You are salt. You are the salt of the earth. We need to be arousing people's consciousness. Says that it brings back to life. So an athlete that's down and out, boxer, bring it back to life. It irritates the membranes of the nose and the lungs. I'm not saying that so we go out and irritate people, but we will irritate some people by just being a Christian. Amen. Some people get very irritated with Christians, even if they hadn't said anything. But the smelling salts trigger an inhalation reflux, which alters the pattern of breathing. It improves respiratory flow and alertness. Who wants a bit of that? Now, I'm not saying young people go out and start sniffing salts. Goodness me, there's enough things around as there is. Don't sniff anything. Just sniff in the breath of the Lord. Amen? So may we be that in people's lives. Yeah, all those things I've just run through, may we be that in people's lives. Everything in the kingdom has an opposite. Are we being the opposite? Have we been the opposite? Or indeed, have we lost something? Individually, have you lost something? Have we lost something as a church? Not just Hillside, maybe Hillside, but the broader Christian church, which is you and me. We. What have we lost? Next one is number 8, if we can. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So ordinary salt, sodium chloride, common salt, it doesn't lose its saltiness because it's pure, it's refined. It doesn't lose its saltiness per se. You can water it down, of course, which is a very good analogy to what we do sometimes, watering it down, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Salt used in the early days, first century Palestine and through that region, same as the Dead Sea, salt, a lot of that had other minerals in it. So if it was exposed to the elements, it would break down, it would lose its saltiness. Exposed to rain, which is the watering down, things would leach out and it would become worthless. There was also salt in some areas that was, you know, as a good salesperson would do, they might mix a bit of something else in there just to make it go a bit further and charge a bit more. Impurities. Another interesting thought about impurities in our salt pile. So in that case, salt wasted away and there was a residue that had these tubs and it would just be useless dust, basically. It was not even good for fertilizer. And it had to be discarded. And as the next scripture says in Luke 14:35, which was another account of this same parable, this same teaching, it is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown away. So if you're not even good for the manure pile, or your salt's not even good for the manure pile, we're in trouble, yeah? The hearers of this also knew about losing saltiness, referring to someone being shown as foolish. That was another analogy, that you were foolish, you'd lost your saltiness. It was an indication of that. And certainly for the Jewish nation, they lost their way, didn't they, so many times, because they got distracted. They got watered down. They took on other gods and other nations' ways and customs, lost their way many times in rebellion. So they knew what he was saying in that regard. So what have we lost? What have we allowed to be thrown away? Where have we lost our saltiness, our flavour, our effectiveness, our positive influence? Compromise is a killer. Compromise is a killer. We lose our authority. And I have probably spoken about this before, mainly to men at Shalom, but other places. I think sometimes we have just thrown out men, I'm talking to men, but it could be for others, but we've thrown down our authority at times because we've been looking at the wrong stuff, touching, tasting, whatever it might be, the wrong stuff. We lose our authority because we can't preach and lead, and we can't be a true godly man if we've done that. You can probably try, but I don't think you'd get on for too long. So if I'm caught in things up here that I shouldn't be caught in, I lose my authority, yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good. So as disciples, if we either refuse to live lives that are true to our calling or simply become lazy, saltless, or we've compromised, or we've gotten distracted, we will have lost that healing, that preserving, that nourishing, that life-enhancing quality and qualities, and we'll have no influence in this world. Our witness will be null and void. The old preacher said we'd become unserviceable, and that would be worse than useless. Please don't feel condemned about that. It's what he said. You're allowed to say things like that in times gone by and people didn't get offended. So for us now, what are we going to do? Number one, I'll just give you a couple of little things here before I finish. So guard your saltiness, your effectiveness, your influence in the world. Guard it. Solomon said, I think, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. All issues of life would flow out of it. Your salt is light to a perishing world, to your neighbours, even your own family. Number two, don't be watered down. Don't compromise. Don't be led astray. We must stand in our workplaces, our schools, our unis, our sporting clubs, our football games we might be going to this afternoon, our craft groups, our families, our retirement villages. Stand. Stand firm. I believe Kyle is going to do a message next week about standing firm, about standing in our authority that we have. Don't let it be watered down. Ephesians talks about that. We've got all this armour we need. Says to stand. I won't preempt what she's going to bring. Otherwise, we get trampled over. Don't go with the flow. And being salt means saying no sometimes to even people we like or love. Scripture says that bad company corrupts good character. Don't allow others to water down your saltiness. Number three, swim upstream. Walk the narrow path. The ancient ways of righteousness, the good ways. Choose the good path. Which sound familiar. Number four, taking a stand. Like, take that stand, but you've got to know why you're taking the stand and what that actually means. You've got to know your stuff. We have to know our stuff. Scripture says that we should always be willing to give an answer for the hope we preach, or the hope that we hold, the hope that we profess. And another favourite old scripture of mine goes the effect of be prepared in season and out of season. Who sometimes feel like they're out of season? But you've got to be prepared. And that salt's there. So you are prepared out of season, even if you don't think you are. Always be willing to give an answer. And with the whole fertilizer and with this whole message, we're going to do an alliance with Kellogg's, and we're coming up with a breakfast cereal called Just Right, because we don't want to be too heavy. We don't want to be too light. We want to be just right. I did have a PowerPoint, but I thought it might have been a little bit left field for a few, so it's such a somber and serious moment. So in winding up, next scripture, which is very interesting, because Natalie, one of the scriptures you brought, which I'll say in a minute, you didn't know I was talking about this. I didn't know what you were going to bring. Where are you? There we are. It's amazing how God works. You could have picked any scripture. This isn't the one, but it leads into it. Mark 9:50b says, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." So just quickly, as I finish, to have salt in yourselves is a charge to the children of the kingdom to live up to our calling. And serve as worthy examples or as preservatives to this world, this sinful world. The squabbling and rivalry, which you did allude to, I think, Natalie, among the disciples just earlier before he spoke this out, threatened the salt-like character. Hence Jesus' commandment, they live at peace with each other. So the positive quality of life among believers should serve as a hope or salt for this world. Factions and divisions should have no place in any church. Amen. Factions and divisions should have no place in any church. Amen. And it has a destructive effect upon our testimony and our witness. And this is the scripture you quoted, Natalie, the world will know we are his by the love we have for one another. See, just prior to this, they're all saying, who's the greatest, who's this, who's that? And they were walking with Jesus. Now, only not long probably started. They were probably a little way into it, but he hit it straight on the head. So the love we should have for each other, and we will have for each other, and that's what God's calling this church to be, as I've said many times, a healthy body. We've got to get connected. We've got to get more connected. I've loved the last couple of months getting to know a few of you better. I know it's only a few of you. I'll get to you all, hopefully. But it's wonderful. And I've been in this church 6 years and something I don't know much or anything about. And vice versa. Although I have shared a bit up the front. And I read recently that one of the greatest causes of atheism, because we always have a crack at the atheists, they're just searching like everyone else. They get a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. The greatest cause of atheism, and I quote this guy, was that Christians not being, well, he didn't say this, I've paraphrased it a little, but Christians not being the salt they are called to be. Any little thing, we're being watched, they're watching us. How do they fit together? Do they love each other? Do they bicker and fight and argue? Denominations are wonderful things, but they divide the body of Christ, unfortunately. And they really just represent humans' personalities. Pentecostals, woohoo! Someone else, more word-based, a bit more conservative. And I did this in Meriden column once. A couple of times I said, you know, got people out here and people out here. Christ died for all of them, and he hung just like that for all of us. Yeah. We're right, of course, so that's okay. We're okay here. If everyone was more like us, we'd be right, yeah? And I like, you know, to quote Gandhi, if I may, in church on a Sunday, he said, I love your Jesus, or I like your Jesus, but I don't like your Christians. It's pretty damning, isn't it? May we today feel a conviction, not a condemnation. Please. Number 11, to finish. Or have we already... Oh, that's it. There we go. Finishing up. We maintain our saltiness by being connected to the Father, His Son, and His Holy Spirit, His Word, His will, and His ways. But we also maintain it, And this is really, I think, what God wants us to show us today. The last few bits I've said, but the other way we maintain it is by being connected to each other. Being built together as those living stones, as a united body of Christ. Yeah? Is there any English teachers in the crowd? Any teachers? Anyone that got learned English real good? The only gospel some people will see is how we be. The only gospel some people will see is how we be. I know it's not proper King's English. Hillside Church, may we be what we are, salt to this earth. May we be what we are, what's in us. Let us work it out, what he's put in us, the salt of the earth. And just remember today that you are the salt of the earth. And may we live a life worthy of the calling, but also the equipping we have through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we didn't do too badly for time. So we'll go into part two, the light. No, we won't do that. Maybe we'll do that another time. So thank you for listening. I might just close in prayer. I don't feel led to do an altar call or anything of that nature today. However, if anyone would like prayer, it's always available up the front after the service. So if anyone wants a recharge of saltiness, there'd be people that would love to pray for you. Anyone needs to share anything, anyone needs to put anything on the table, anyone needs to go to someone, please be encouraged to do so. If you're hurting, please take a step to do something about it. If you need to go and talk to someone in love, please do that. If you've hurt someone and you know you have, but you're too frightened to go and talk about it, please go and do it. If we stay and hurt too long, guess what grows up? Bitterness. And guess what bitterness does from Scripture? It grows up and does what? Defiles many. It's not a very nice word, defile. If we allow it to harbour unforgiveness, hurt, it manifests bitterness. And it defiles many because you'll pull people in. He said, she said, they did. Now I know some tough things have happened to people. But find the right people to talk about those things. It's a little heavy to end on, isn't it? But it's true, none the same, nonetheless. So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we can trust it, that it is flawless, that it is perfect, that it is the way to life, that it is the ancient paths, it is the good way, it is the good part. We thank you, Lord, that you sent the word to come and walk amongst us and live amongst us. And we thank you, Lord, that he's got a book out. I pray you help us to read and to put our roots down in it, Lord, all of us. To share, to encourage, to fertilise each other, to encourage each other, to equip each other, to fan the gifts into flame that we all have in this place. And to a dying world that doesn't know it, but they are so thirsty for you. Lord, let us be that salt. And Lord, let us be worth our salt, the salt that you've given us and placed in us, that we are the salt of the earth. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.